If it had a book it could read, if it could read, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that celebrates the five civilized tribes of Oklahoma. He knows it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Medicare expert, Doug Jones.
Oh boy, it is Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast time again. I get so excited every day when this podcast time comes around. I just don't know what to do with myself. It's Doug Jones here, as you were just instructed or just informed. I am your Medicare expert, and I will be for the rest of today and maybe for tomorrow too. So it's wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful to know that you are there. Thank you for joining us. You just heard my nephew, my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, indicate the announcements that we hear at the beginning of every podcast episode. And I have to say that Drew McMillan is coming to visit us tomorrow in Illinois. And it's going to seem balmy and tropical to him because he's a Canadian. So he's managing to fly into the States. People would say, well, how can he do that? Everybody's locked down and nobody's allowed to go anywhere. Well, he's an American citizen as well as a Canadian. So he is allowed to go wherever the heck he wants to. He's the host of a Canadian television show, and he has important entertainment business to attend to in the States. So he's managing to set aside a little time to come visit us, and we're very, very happy about that. Now, often at this time, I spend a lot of time yakking about why we're here and what we're up to and who we're talking to and why and all that stuff. But sometimes it's just easier to ask Randy to play our 30-second radio spot. So I'm going to shut up right now and let him work his magic.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
All righty, that's a thing of beauty. I thought it up, he created it, and we make a great team together. That's Randy Carson and Doug Jones together again. How are you, Randy?
I'm good.
it took you a while to think of that answer.
Well, you know, I was conjuring on some other idea. When you mentioned that your nephew Drew was going to visit tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's a couple things that occurred to me. One is that he should be available for signing autographs while he's there.
Well, he's going to sign one for me. I don't know about anybody else.
And we should figure out how to get him live on the podcast.
Okay, here's the sad part. He sounds so good with the recordings that he sends us. I mean, he's got his studio in his new house working just as well as his sound studio in his old house did. And so that quality is fantastic. And then after listening to his voice at the beginning of every episode, when you listen to my voice and the crappy signal that I managed to squeeze out of here through the DSL lines, I'm not sure that we want him degrading his voice in the way that I have to degrade my voice.
Well, you do sound occasionally. Now, this is not a personal statement.
Understood.
It's about DSL, but occasionally you do sound like you're squeaking one out over there.
Well, I'll have you and the listeners know that I just spent tons and tons and tons of money to run 600 feet of new water main from the street to the house, and I told them as long as you're doing that, throw in an empty chase so that I can get some cable down here. And that hopefully will enhance our audio quality.
I've got all kinds of thoughts this morning. I don't know what's going on here, but my brain
normally,
is particularly...
You, You're normally devoid of thought, but you know, today you've got tons of thought. So
I think it was because I got up and I started working 2 hours early. But so my brain is kind of activated. It's got, you know, a sufficient level of caffeine in it. But here's what occurred to me while I was working this morning.
Lay it on me.
We were talking in a previous podcast about how Larry the Cable Guy got his gig.
Was it during the podcast or just during our bull session before or after?
I don't remember. But, you know, long story short is Larry was a call-in guest for I think it was a radio show down in Georgia or Texas or Florida or someplace. I don't remember. But anyway, he became a kind of a character that they would call in, and eventually they liked him so well that they were asking him to call in and play this character, Larry the Cable Guy.
And then eventually they paid him for it.
Yes. Well, we should have the Medicare for the Lazy Man moral equivalent of Larry the Cable Guy.
Somewhere out there, there has to be a hungry comedian who wants to create a character that we could incorporate into our podcast. Now, A, we got to find that comedian, and B, we've got to kind of make it Medicare related. Otherwise, we're going to have to change the title, or we'll have some disappointed audience members. We got to throw in some Medicare, some value for their time being spent listening. Wouldn't you think?
Yes. Yes.
So what we have to do is find a failed insurance agent who wants to be a comedian.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
We don't want we don't want a successful agent because he's already earning money and he wouldn't be that motivated. We need somebody who has failed and who's casting about for another way to earn a living.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think it might be easier to find a failed agent than you might imagine, because you're an expert. You've been in the business for, you know, 30 years, but I have known several people back in the day that, I'm going to sell insurance. You know, some sort. It was almost like a multi-level marketing deal.
Yeah. All you need is a monkey suit and a briefcase and a pad of applications.
And unfortunately, I've gotten calls from several of those people. Hey, Randy. Yeah. Well, this is Timmy the Toenail. You know, I'm selling. I'm selling insurance now. Oh, yeah? What kind? Oh, I'm selling life insurance, just about anything you might imagine. When can I come over and talk to you? Never.
All he's going to do is drink your beer.
Yeah, yeah. So then about, what is it? Usually insurance companies will put them on the dole for about, I don't know, 6 months maybe.
Yeah.
And then if they don't make the grade in terms of the numbers and start carrying their own weight, pretty soon they're looking for a job down at the local Walmart.
Sure, sure. And the sad thing is when you sign on with an insurance company, if it's a kind of a marginal company, the first thing they do is they turn you around and sick you on your relatives.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So that's always something to watch out for.
Well, but
what we have to find is a failed agent who's highly motivated, who's funny. That's going to be the tough part.
We unfortunately have, you know, the situation where you just mentioned they sick you on all your relatives.
Yeah.
I have been the target of that in my extended family a couple times, and I'm getting very good at avoiding them.
Well, I can understand why. Because, and that's part of my pitch to people who are facing Medicare. I know that they are bound to be hounded by, in fact, I just read an email from a client today who said, okay, thanks a lot. We got everything done. And she said, I'm so glad that now I can start throwing away all the crap that shows up every day in the mail. She said, I'm so sick of it. And the phone calls, you know, they just ignore the phone ringing off the hook. So it's, I feel like I'm doing a favor for people once they understand that we operate differently than your average insurance marketing types do around the end of the year.
Well, it's absolutely true. Here's kind of the metaphorical comparison that I make between you and some of these other people that have tackled me, you know, with their shiny new cards in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you been in the business? Oh, I started, what was it, 6 days ago.
Don't touch the ink on my card. It's going to smear.
Yeah, I just got out of training. So, okay, well, what should we do in this particular set of circumstances? And then their eyes glaze over because they didn't cover that in class.
Yeah.
And so then that usually they'll bring the overlord with them, and then they'll go out in the kitchen and confer, and
right.
then they'll come back with some sort of freaking answer. But that it's just ridiculous. And I don't say that nobody should get in the insurance business, but I've been at the receiving end of the let's go tackle your family, and that just really bores me to death.
Oh,
and the other thing, and the other thing is when I look at my insurance agent, I want to see some experience on their face, like when you're getting on the airplane,
yep.
and you know whether you see a snot-nosed kid up there or Sully Sullenberger. Okay,
absolutely.
I want Sully. Okay,
yeah, that snot-nosed kid in the right-hand seat still has the tags on his brand new jacket, brand new uniform jacket.
Yeah, and there's one sticking out of his hat.
Yeah, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, does it? Well, if you were able to look at my face with its deeply grained wrinkles, and you'd know I've been around the block a couple of times. And in fact, I've spent some time corresponding with some people recently. This is desk cleaning day, by the way. As the audience knows, the regular audience knows, I'm moving at some point to a house in Wayne, Illinois. That house is on the verge of being purchased. And once the deal is done, then it's going to be gutted and rebuilt from the inside out. But Wayne, Illinois is a place that I grew up. My parents shanghaied me from Oklahoma, brought me up north when I was a little kid, and had me grow up in Wayne, which is a lot like Camelot in the minds of those who grew up there. We were pretty fortunate. So anyway, I guess for the summertime months, I'm back where some of my roots were. But what I do is that because people buy the book that are interested in getting Medicare coverage, and because they read the book, and because often they have questions, because I didn't write a 420-page book like Medicare for Dummies. I wrote a 66-page book, and part of that's taken up by jokes and recipes. So frankly, I boiled the Medicare knowledge that most people need down to a fairly small portion of the book. So occasionally people will ask me for advice and opinions about things that aren't addressed in the book. So I have a correspondent in Arizona. And this gentleman and his wife are going to both need Medicare supplements pretty darn soon, like probably January 1st. And so they know what I recommend from the book, but they also had additional questions. And these people are trepidatious. They are not confident buyers. They're concerned about making a mistake. And I do a lot of warning of people in the book. Be careful that you don't make a mistake that's going to haunt you the rest of your life. Don't do this. Don't miss that deadline. And everything will be fine. Because generally speaking, Medicare, your encounter with Medicare is going to turn out fine. And there's little reason for concern if you have a good advisor. I like to consider myself to be among the best, but nobody's 100%. So this gentleman in Arizona has written me with many questions. And he finally, the other day, sent me a questionnaire he got from an organization called SHIP. SHIP is like privately funded resource for people with health insurance needs. Like I need information on this and that and everything else. And every state has a SHIP office. And he went to the one in Arizona and they gave him a questionnaire relating to Medicare supplements. And it's at the top, it's got three different logos. It has the SHIP logo, which is State Health Insurance Assistance Program. See, these guys have to learn how to spell their acronym correctly. They spell it SHIP, but it stands for SHIAP, State Health Insurance Assistance Program. So there's a letter missing in there. And then at the top in the middle, it's got PCOA, Aging Well for Life. Don't know what that means, really. And then there's an SMP in the print. Below that is so fine that I can barely read it. Basically, it's a one-page questionnaire that their clients are asked to give to insurance agents to fill out as regards the company products that the insurance agents are advising people to consider buying. And so in this case, it's about Medicare supplements. And it's got some good information and some worthless information here. They asked for the insurance. I told them I had four different A-plus companies that I often scan the rates for when I'm dealing with a new client. And almost always, the least expensive rate is produced by one company. One A-plus rated company has the most aggressive rates because they concentrate on Medicare supplements, and to a greater extent, they concentrate on high deductible or high value Medicare supplements, as Randy and I call them. So that's always the winner in the rate category. And because it's an A-plus company, I'm never embarrassed or ashamed to show them to people, but they're not a well-known household name. So I told this particular prospect what the cost would be for him and for his wife. In this case, he's a 65-year-old non-smoker. His monthly premium would be $52 for a high deductible Plan G. His wife is 66 and her premium would be $47 a month. And so this form is saying, okay, what plans do you recommend? What's the deal with this company? What is its rating? And I was able to put down A plus. They said, what's the insurance company's telephone number, contact name? Well, I put my information there. We don't need people bothering the insurance company. I am representing them, so I can answer all the questions. And they said, what plan type are you talking about? Well, in this case, high deductible Plan G. This form is too old to have that. At the beginning of this year, high deductible Plan G first became available. So this form is obviously older than a year old. So then they ask in red, does the premium include an enrollment discount? Yes or no? Well, you know, that's kind of, I only know one company that has an enrollment discount, and that really complicates the premium calculation. So I don't really get excited about enrollment discounts. It's also on a sliding scale. So if you enroll in 1 year, you get a discount. If you enroll the next year, the discount gets smaller and eventually goes away. And they know that because the next question is, how much does the enrollment discount decrease every year? Well, that means you're going to get a rate increase. So, you know, why would you want to entertain the thought of buying a product that has an enrollment discount? Unless it's really, really inexpensive. I mean, I'm always thinking, well, you get a lot of bang for your buck sometime. Let's examine that and see if that's true. In the case of an enrollment discount, I don't think it's that important. I have not seen it give anybody a great deal on the monthly premium for Medicare supplement. Then it says, what is the household discount, if any? Well, of the companies I have, two or three of them have household discounts, meaning if you've got a spouse who takes the same plan, they might give you like a 10 or 12% discount. If that person has a roommate who's over age 60, there's one company that'll give them a 5% discount just for that. So it's just, do you live with somebody that should affect their longevity and the state of their health? So they will give a discount for somebody who is has somebody else living with them. And that discount never even comes close to making them the least expensive product in my portfolio. This company out of Texas that I'm quoting, which is United American, actually is costs less than even the companies that are offering household discounts. And then, let's see, I said, I also included a rate history. I sent this questionnaire back. I included a rate history of that company's product in Arizona from 2011 to 2018. And that rate history showed, I believe, a 7% reduction over those years. In other words, they didn't get rate increases. The people who bought the high deductible plan F was the only one in existence in 2011 to 2018. The people that bought high deductible plan F in Arizona from this particular Texas company are paying less today than they were when they bought the product. They've had a rate decrease. And I believe over that year, those years, that period of time, if they bought the full-blown Plan F, they've had something on the order of a 5% rate increase. So the high deductible or high value plans have actually been reduced because the company is doing something right. And I like selling a product that isn't going to give the client unpleasant surprises. So then I wrote back, I sent the questionnaire back with a rate sheet and with this rate history. And I wrote back and I said, hello, sir, your primary concern in this period of transition, meaning transition from employment to Medicare, your primary concern should really be to pick a trustworthy advisor, insurance agent or broker, and then rely on them. It seems to me that you are overthinking what should be a fairly routine series of events. Now, why would I say that to him? I said that to him because I saw him following a pattern that I've seen in the 45 years I've been in this business. I have seen a small percentage of people go overboard and just, you know, they're so scared, they're so trepidatious that they don't trust anybody or anything, and they spend a lot of time and energy gathering giant piles of material and overwhelming themselves before they're able to make a decision. And so I was trying to caution this gentleman that he seems to be following a pattern that I don't think is going to do him well in the decision-making process. It's going to be tougher for him to make a decision if he's very concerned about the quality of advice he's getting. So he wrote me back right away, and I felt a little guilty about what I had said. He said, "Hi, Doug. With all due respect, sir, you yourself said in your 2019 and 2020 Medicare for the Lazy Man books that dealing with insurance agents can be problematic due to some of them pushing specific products due to differences in commission rates they will receive or companies they contract with." And I did say that. He's exactly correct. "While we have every confidence that you do not fall into that category, my wife and I were just trying to gather information on candidate policies from a myriad of agents in an apples versus apples way, hence the standardized form we were given from SHIP to gather information. Our apologies if you took offense. I assure you, no offense was intended." And then he goes on to say, "Just for future concerns, do you have any recommendations as to where prospective clients such as ourselves can go to assess the credibility of a trustworthy agent? You seem great." Yeah, I'm wondering if he was winking there. "You seem great, but how do we make a decision on the next agent that we contact in the event that your policies aren't a fit for some reason? That being said, the information you sent regarding the United American Insurance Company's high deductible or high value G plan looks very enticing. Do you have or can you direct us to a location where we can access all the printed information about the company's high deductible plan G? Being an engineer, I'm a stickler for getting things in writing so I can read all the fine print. We're just looking for standard company brochure that outlines rates, any discounts or lack thereof. We've looked online, could not find any of that information. We've really had our eyes opened recently looking at the fine print on some of the brochures we've looked at. One that will remain nameless advertised an issue age policy that, as it turns out, has decreasing enrollment discounts over 18 years and a 5% premium increase, I guess, each year. He said that would have hurt if we hadn't looked closely. On the logistics front, I've received my Medicare card now. Okay, so he says, "Thanks, Doug. We're hoping you'll be willing to put up with all the questions from us, from this soon-to-be-retired engineer." Okay, well, I felt a little guilty because some people are just more detail-oriented than others. Most people don't want to wallow around in the minutia of Medicare, and it surprised me that this gentleman was so curious and was looking for more and more and more information. I was afraid he was following a pattern of people who can never, ever make up their minds without all kinds of angst and stress. So my response to him was, "I took no offense at all from your level of curiosity, but in the many decades I've been doing this, I have seen a few people make themselves miserable chasing irrelevant minutiae. and I do not want you to fall prey to that unpleasant, unproductive distraction. My warnings were aimed at the types of insurance agents represented by Joe Namath. And I've also been very specific that Joe just reads the scripts and collects his fee. If you want to have some fun, freeze the screen during some of the Namath ads and enjoy reading the legal disclaimers they overlay on his image. If I were going to suggest a search method for an agent, I would probably use expertise as one criterion. For instance, I have been licensed to sell auto and homeowners insurance for 45 years, but I have an excellent agent who knows much more than me in those areas. I am happy to give up commissions to him in order to have quality representation. I should also have added, but I didn't, that sometimes a hometown insurance agent, broker that's been in business for a long time and values his reputation in his community is going to be one person who is reliable also, because there are two ways that this can work. If a person reads my book, decides on the product he wants to buy, he can demand that that agent sell him that product, even if the agent would rather sell him something with a bigger commission. And the agent will, if he's a reasonable person, will accede to that request. And the other thing is, he's operating in a local neighborhood. His clientele, generally speaking, drive past his office regularly. He doesn't want to go around irritating people in his pool of prospects for no reason at all. So if this gentleman was looking for an agent, how do I determine a good agent from a bad agent? I said, well, expertise is one way, and having somebody who's got a lot of roots in your local area would be another way if they have a good reputation. But frankly, that's not going to be me in his neighborhood. So I'm going to go with expertise when it comes to dealing with this gentleman. So I said, as for logistics, you might check the account for her that you and your wife set up at Medicare.gov. They were having trouble getting her approval for Medicare. And sometimes that approval appears on the Medicare.gov website. So if you've gone there and put in an account, if you've opened an account, you can log into that account with your password and everything. And then sometimes, without telling you, they have a benefits verification letter that tells you, okay, your Medicare benefits will begin on such and such a date. And they also often have a way to print a temporary Medicare ID card that will show your Part A and your Part B. And this before the real Magilla comes in the mail. So I was suggesting that he go back and log into his wife's account to see if her actual approval has been done. It's going to show up on the website before it actually shows up in their mailbox. So I said, I'm going to look through my computer to send you additional material, product information material that you asked for, because I want you to be completely satisfied that you have seen everything there is to make a decision on. So that was my conversation with that gentleman, and I hope he knows that I wasn't upset. I wanted him to avoid the stress that can come from inability to make a decision. Now, I don't know. I know you and I have never had that kind of stress. We both have all our hair.
When it came down to the end of the story and he was an engineer, it made perfect sense, because I've known so many people that were various types of engineers in my life, and they will go to any extreme to continue chasing the detail. I used to work with a guy that was just never happy with close enough. So let's say we were in a project meeting and someone would pop up and say, what's the cost of this project? And somebody would pop up and say, about $10,000. And then he would pop up, and his name shall remain nameless, but he would pop up and say, well, actually, it's $9,942.07.
Okay, that's the irritating side of engineers. the other side of the coin, of the engineer coin, that makes you want to just hug them and give them refreshing beverages all day long, is the fact that we got a billion bridges in this country, and most of them don't cave in most of the time. On buildings, we've got big ass buildings that do not topple over most of the time. So
I was gonna say that because the bridge thing. Yeah. Actually, I kid you not, that was running through my head at the time because in engineering, of any type of engineering, whether it be mechanical, whether it be, you know, structural, whether it be any kind of engineering, close enough doesn't count.
No, it's got to be right on the money. And God knows where those guys, they don't have Wikipedia. They didn't used to have Wikipedia where they could look up how to build a bridge. You know,
it
was all done paper and pencil, as far as I can tell. You know, mathematics 101.
Well, you know, back speaking of paper and pencil, back in the day, some of the original, like space flights, most of those calculations in terms of the trajectory necessary to get out of the Earth's atmosphere, and, you know, I'm not a rocket engineer, but that was all done by hand with, you know, big, you know, guys and gals with slide rules in their pocket.
That's the thing. You said by hand, but they did have the slide rule, which was a great leap forward.
Yeah.
And somewhere around the house, I've got a slide rule. I remember spending hours in math classes trying to figure out how to use one of those damn things. I was always in advanced math classes in high school and always regretted it. So, but I had slide rules, and now I kind of wish I had them, just like, because I like to restore old cars, the mechanics in the 1960s had these big giant rolling sun machines that would, with a million wires, and they'd hook them up to all the electrical components in a car and then stare at a screen, an oscillator, and watch as all these lines bounce around. And then they would turn a knob, the lines bounce a different direction. And now you can't give those things away. People don't want them. I want one of those, and I want a big-ass, like, golden slide rule. And I'm going to hang that stuff on the wall or, you know, put it in my shop and just marvel at how far we've come in the era of how to calculate stuff.
Now, this isn't a slide rule, but it brought it to mind because of the math part.
Uh-huh.
What are those little, an abacus?
Yeah.
You know, with the little beads sliding back and forth?
Absolutely.
Okay, I have actually watched a contest between a woman that knew how to run an abacus. I mean, like a banker. She could do this with her feet.
May I hazard a guess here? Was she Chinese by any chance?
Yes, she was.
There you go.
And then against a guy with an adding machine.
Yeah.
She whipped his butt every time.
Yeah. When I started working for my company, my family's insurance company in 1975, they were getting new office equipment. All the clerks were getting new adding machines, modern, adding machines, calculators, I guess. And the old ones were called comptrometers. And they came home with me because we had a place to store them until we could give them to charity. And those things were like, there was a big keyboard, like one of those giant cash registers that no kid today has ever seen in a grocery store. and those women their fingers would move like lightning across those keys in those giant cash registers. But these things were not electrical. They were mechanical. So there'd be all the keys that you would have found on a giant cash register, but finger sized. And then you pull a handle and it made all kinds of noise. And I don't know what went on inside these things, but these comptrometers were fascinating. And, they were replaced by modern calculators. And our telephones obviously have more calculating ability than the original moon landing computers had. And we've all heard that.
Yeah. So we've got to sign off here because we're out of gas. Yeah, we're out of steam.
I hate it when that happens.
I do have one little hanging Chad question that I'm going to purposely leave.
Oh, well, jeez. We've got a great dessert, but we're not having it today. We're going to have it tomorrow.
Not having it today. Okay, right. So for you folks that want to have some bizarre information that you can win a beer at the local pub with, what relationship does the word Chisholm Bop have to do with abacus?
Boy. And I've heard that word, but I think it was in a song that was made popular by the Nelson twins or something. I'm not sure it had anything to do with calculation. But anyway, so that'll be a hanging chad we can deal with after we admonish people to buy the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. I'm desperately trying to work on Medicare for the Lazy Man 2021, and it's not going well, ladies and gentlemen. I am actually later than I was last year at this time, so I've got to have some time to myself to finish writing the new book. But you can go to Amazon, you can go to barnesandnoble.com and buy the current edition of the book. You can get it in Audible, you can get it in paperback, you can get it in ebook or Kindle version from Amazon. And it will tell you 90% of what you need to know about Medicare. It's still going to be a valuable resource for now and for years to come. It's just that the next year's edition will have funnier jokes, and it will have up-to-date numbers that the federal government has just issued with respect to deductibles, coinsurance, and all that kind of stuff. So go buy the book if you need Medicare guidance. And it will just be just like having me sitting there right along with you. So what else do we have to tell them? Go to the website. We got a fantastic site where you, if you want help in getting your Medicare insurance purchased, you can click on your state on the big United States map and fill out a real short questionnaire. And if you click on the right button, and I haven't really done it, but I know there's a button there, send to Doug or something like that, and it just comes to me magically. We don't know how that happens, but oh, Randy probably knows how it happens. Would that be true, Randy? Or
yes, I do know how that happens.
and am I leading them astray by saying
no?
Click on a button.
No, okay, no. You click a button, and off it goes, and pretty soon it shows up in Doug's inbox.
And we're going to have, if you decide you want to buy, you're going to have some sensitive data that you don't want the world to know, like your social security number is going to be requested, stuff like that. So Randy is devising a completely secure method for you to transmit that data to us also. And so pretty soon you will be able to buy your insurance and remain completely anonymous. At least that's
pigeons. Pigeons. I'm thinking about carrier pigeons.
They're really trustworthy.
What do you think?
I think it's fantastic. The only thing is they tend to poop every once in a while.
I know. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time around the old metaphorical coffee table with Doug. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy from Oklahoma, the real deal, and sole proprietor of Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.